Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emunah. Thank you for adjusting our location this morning. Baruch Hashem, Summer Kollel, active learning and doing well. So we're always on the move. Got to keep you awake, looking for where the Emunah Shir will be this week. This is also the last one for a few weeks after Tisha B'Av, going on vacation for a few weeks. You can catch up on old Shirim, listen to other people's Shirim, learn Emunah on your own. But please, God, looking forward to resuming together in Elul. I want to thank our incredibly generous Emunah Series sponsors, Drs. Avi and Bella Morgan, who sponsor this year in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Chanzer, in honor of our IDF soldiers. They should be safe and secure while they protect the Jewish people. And also in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit. Today is Brian's seventh Yahrzeit. Passed away on Erev Tisha B'Av. And as Rav Asher Weiss said about him, it's consistent with Brian's personality to not want us to be sad another time of the year. So he left this world on a day and a time we're already so broken and so sad to not add or contribute to it. But we miss Brian each and every day. And when you talk about living with Emunah, Brian faced his terminal illness and the last days, weeks, months, and years of his life, still saying on his lips every day until the last that Hashem is amazing. I always spoke about Hashem. Isn't Hashem amazing? As he lay on his deathbed, isn't Hashem amazing? Continues for me and so many others to be a light and an inspiration of Emunah, no matter what he was facing. And his beautiful legacy of his family continued to keep his memory, his neshama, alive. We love him, we miss him, we think about him, and are learning each week, thanks to the Morgans, and particularly this week, is dedicated in his memory. The series is also generously sponsored anonymously in memory of the fallen soldiers of B'nai David, Yeshiva, and Mechina, and Eli. Remember the wounded soldiers, their families. This week we're highlighting Don Weidenbaum. Born in Belgium, moved to Israel at age 3. Known for his warmth, humility, determination. He was an Egos commando unit before he was in the reserves following October 7th. January of 2024, fighting in Gaza, spotted an incoming anti-tank missile, warned his teammates, pushed the soldier to safety before he was killed. He was 24 years old. His courage and selflessness continue to inspire, and his neshama, we say, does not need an aliyah. Our soldiers who gave their lives already next to the Kisei HaKavod are at the highest place. And so we know he's at the highest place. The anonymous donor points out that Dan's aunt was one of the dedicated nurses who cared for Matan, our sponsor's injured son, during his rehab, making his story especially meaningful to that family. And we continue to daven for Matan and all those who are injured visibly and invisibly. They have a refuah shleima. Today's share sponsored anonymously, refuah shleima, speedy recovery, Sarah Bas, Michelle Michal, by Carol Wald in honor of BRS. Thank you so much, Carol. By Andrea and Daniel Rowling for the zchus of a fast and complete refuah shleima for Ariel Binyamin Ben Rachel. Thank you to all of our incredible sponsors. Okay, before we dive back in now to Emunah, just want to call your attention tonight. Levi Mashiach will come today and we'll all be in Yerushalayim and not sitting on the floor. But should we be sitting on the floor tonight, and I share particularly for this group of those who listen, watch, if you do in time, not everybody can make it to Eicha and Shul. People have young children at home or other reasons. We stream Eicha, but before Eicha, we have a few thoughts. This year I got a lot of thoughts. Some of them are some strongly held thoughts and look forward to the opportunity to share them, hopefully to set the stage for all of us for Tisha B'Av and how we can get up off the floor and let this be our last year, if we have to even this year. The topic for tonight is From Grudges to Geula, Loving Jews We Don't Like. How do you love Jews that you don't like? You don't have to like everyone. Torah and Hashem never demand that we have to like everyone. There are people who are really unlikable. They're really hard to like. The Torah says you have to love them anyway. What's the difference between loving and liking, and how do we love those who we don't like? And how do we drop, as Charlotte's incredible parents have taught us, Shalom for Charlotte and their incredible effort, Rumi and Yudi, how we can not have a grudge. So our topic tonight is From Grudges to Geula, Loving Jews We Don't Like. It's going to be streamed. You can go to our YouTube page, 8:35 p.m. tonight. We'll have some introductory remarks, then Eicha, then the Kumsitz with the Summer Kollel following. All of it will be streamed for those who are unable to be here in person. Obviously preferable and more ideal to be in person, but if not, you can follow there online. Okay, as always, we begin with some emails. We don't just read for entertainment. We darshan. We learn. We are inspired. We are transformed. And we also helps us think about other Divrei Torah. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, thank you for the Shiur Torah you've given over. Has gone through hard periods of life. I'm sure I'm stronger today because of the shir. Today is Rosh Chodesh Av. This was written obviously last week, and it was Baruch Hashem a normal morning in our beautiful home. I found myself annoyed and frustrated over little things, which is not at all how I want to show up as a mother and wife. I drove carpool and the whole way back spoke to Hashem about how bummed I was that I couldn't just let it go or pause before reacting. A midah that doesn't come easily to me, and that I'm working so hard to change. Just thinking about what you said, today's shir is dedicated in particular for Brian, who's Yahrzeitis today. One of his finest qualities, a member of his family was recalling, was his capacity to be mevater, just let things go. To just let things go. So this author was saying she was bummed. She wants to. I know what that's like. I'm thinking about that a lot lately. You know that there's the person that you want to be. I want to be that person. I want to be that person at my levaya. They're going to say, never weighed in, said, do whatever you want, make this happen, do it, be happy. Just want you, you want to be that person they say those things about. You don't really want to be that person, and you're not that person. So how do you reconcile wanting to be that person, but you're struggling to be that person? So the author writes, I want to be that person. Just let everything go. Nothing bothers you. Let it all slide. Mevater overlooks, lets it go, lets it slide. But it's not easy. Maybe you're a spouse. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you have opinions. Maybe there are things that aggravate you. After Baruch Hashem, the kids were in camp safely. I drove home and I just cried to Hashem that I couldn't be the person I wanted to for the people I love most. And then I put on your shir. Hashem orchestrated in that the messages, there were several, were perfectly timed. Today, you spoke about showing up and trying your best. I spoke about what's our mission, what's our purpose. And for some people, it's just getting to the end of the day. For some people, it's just showing up. It's not always about something big and huge and enormous and transformational. For some, it's the daily grind. For some, it's just about showing up. And above all, our avodah is to be happy, to smile. You said it so articulately, so perfectly, even through the sadness, we should be happy. So we spoke about last week, Mishinichnas Av, Mematin. How? B'simcha. We diminish, haven't had meat and wine, no music, could use a shave and a haircut, but we're diminished in our actions of happiness. How do we do it? Mishinichnas Av, Mematin. How? B'simcha. A Jew always has to have a smile. We turn down the dial, it's the pilot light, but we always have to have simcha. And I realized Hashem was talking to me through you. Even though I feel sadness and difficulty of growing and acknowledging I'm not where I want to be, and I can be, and I should be, but nevertheless, I have to be happy. If you feel be happy to share, please do so. This email is a note of Hakaras HaTov. Thank you. Have the koach to keep bringing Torah. Thank you so much. So, Baruch Hashem, people again always turn on the story. Hashem helps make the shidduch for what people need to hear when they need to hear it. I've got some incredible emails here. And then today we're going to finish up the piece by Rishol Alter. Because Hashem is amazing. He's having us finish that up in the last year before we take a break for a few weeks and return in Elul, and we'll return with a new Sefer, a new topic, and I'm really excited. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, in the middle of listening to the Munah Shir about being happy when serving Hashem, especially the 9 days before Tisha B'Av, reminds me of an email I've been meaning to send you since Purim. Since Purim. No, what took so long? By the way, I should add here that even though diminished joy during the time of the year, the reality is that without doing laundry, there is more time for doing other things, like listening to the Munah Shir and writing Yamuna emails. I can say, Evduos Hashem b'simcha for that. Back to the Purim story. Unfortunately, I experienced not one, but two losses in my family. My father was one day shy of 99 when he passed away. And a few weeks later, my brother was nifter. He passed away unexpectedly. It happens to be that I was sitting Shiva for my brother in the week of Purim. During Shiva, also the year of Avelis, one does not receive Mishloach Manos, but a mourner must give part of the Purim mitzvahs to one person. I chose one of my closest friends to give. In a normal year, I would normally go with my family to give it out. But this year, I was on Shiva week. Did not go out except for hearing Megillah. I gave my husband and son the address to my friend's house. They parked near the house, but ended up going to the house next door. A man opened the door with a huge smile on his face, said, "Thank you so much," in Hebrew, and Chag Sameach. My husband and son didn't recognize the guy, who they couldn't communicate with so well. He only spoke Hebrew and Spanish, not English. My son said to me when he got home, he wasn't sure it was the right house, but the guy looked really happy. He couldn't speak English, but a smile is a universal language. He didn't necessarily look like a Jewish person in the Orthodox community, but he spoke Hebrew, so they figured he must be Jewish. I called my friend and told her, "I think my son and husband delivered the Shmach Manos, but to your neighbor." She confirmed her next door neighbor is a Jewish guy from Colombia who only speaks Spanish and Hebrew. She said he probably didn't get any other Shalach Manos for Purim. I wanted my friend to know I intended to give it to her, but I was only able to give to one person. He received it. My son told me it was a real schus for me that this person got my one shalach manos because he was so appreciative and happy to get it. It made me happy knowing that my one mishloach manos went to a guy who may not have otherwise received a package on Purim. I guess my mishloach manos was exactly where it was meant to be. The reason I put in the subject line for Yocheved is that the week before Purim you were away in Israel. That week Yocheved took over the Amunah Shir. She said, why should we miss the Amunah Shir because you were away? Maybe the next few weeks. Ooh, wow. I just realized something. She's not coming. All right, we'll have to negotiate. If you agree and want Yocheved to continue the Amunah Shir in my absence, goldbergmom@gmail.com. Feel free to let her know. In the Shir, I remember she gave the advice to give someone you would not normally give to. I ended up doing exactly that, and it totally made his special day. Please share the story with Yocheved. I know she will appreciate it. And please make sure to tell her that if you go away this summer, she should continue to give. No, it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that, but we'll add that in too. Okay, listen to this next email. Got this last night. Love all the emails. Can't read all them, but some of them blow you away. Thank you for the inspiration every week. Blah, 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 yada, yada. Gets me through the week. After your description of the OL, I wrote recently, last week or 2 weeks ago, I wrote about why I feel so drawn every time I go to New York, almost every time. I find myself at the OL, the Rebbe and the Friedrich Rebbe and the Rebbetzins and other holy Jews who are buried in that cemetery too. And I find myself there. The cookies are really good. Fresh apples, really ice cold seltzer, a lot of good reasons to go. Obviously, the opportunity to daven at a tzaddik, incredible. And I wrote an article about what really draws me and what to me makes it the holy place is the diversity of Jews who are there and the unity of mission, of purpose, of why they're there. And outside of the Kotel in Israel, in America, obviously it's not Israel, you can't have any other Kotel. But if you want to go to a holy place where all types of Jews are drawn and feel connected and united, I highly recommend. It is very special. Listen to this email. After the description, I went to the OL. Couldn't help but share my most recent post-OL experience. I'm not Lubavitch, but after moving to Queens a few years ago, I began visiting on occasion at Daven and always feel such clarity, menuchas ha-nefesh, of peace of mind after sitting there, being alone with myself, my thoughts, penning a letter of ratzon and connection to Hashem and davening. The focus, no distraction environment is a place of yearning and growth. One can't help but leave feeling inspired. Even more, I've seen Hashem direct answers to me after davening there. Baruch Hashem, in the form of my two beautiful children, may everyone be blessed with such brachos. I really feel like my connection there is charged with extra power. Hashem really listens. Often when I go, I clearly see He's sending a sign. The OL is a universal connector for everyone, no matter their affiliation. This past time, I visited on my way to my 38-week appointment to thank Hashem and ask for continued health and bracha. I ordered a lift to take me to my next stop, and the random driver asked me, "Were you praying to the Rebbe?" Sure enough, I answered, "I was praying there. Are you familiar with him?" Upon which the clearly Indian driver pulled out a Rebbe picture from his wallet and said, "Yes, I go pray there a lot, and he always answers me." "Really?" I asked in disbelief. "Yes, the OL is for everyone, no matter their religion. I always wait to start off my lift day until someone orders a car to get them from the OL. It makes my day more meaningful." This Indian driver rejects every lift until someone needs a ride from the OL, so this non-Jewish Indian man can start his lift day driving someone from the OL. Wow, that's so special. How did you develop such a personal connection? A few years ago, he said, "I was in a tough financial position. I didn't have enough money for my needs. I came to pray here, and that night I won the lottery for $2,000. Now, of course, $2,000 didn't solve all his financial troubles, but the idea was that this man, who practiced Hinduism, prayed at the OL and felt an immediate answer. The Rebbe is for everyone. It ends up to be, and it is up to us to be attuned to recognize Hashem's hashgacha and signs He sends us. So much of our avodas Hashem is on our mind. When we genuinely want to connect, we're open to feeling His presence. He's even more open to us." He then asked if I had the Rebbe cookies, and I was happy to give them to him to enjoy as a tip for his good service. What are the chances of all the drivers to come get me? It was specifically this driver who was waiting to share his story with me. Summer before I went, thanking Hashem for my blessing, asking for a nace to be gifted with a pregnancy. Out of the blue, a lady asked me if I could translate an Igros letter for her from Hebrew. Being proficient in Hebrew enough, I managed to read, explain the letter, and although I was not the one asking the question, nor had I ever opened that book before, it felt like the letter was talking to me. It mentioned my specific hometown, not New York, somewhere very out of town, the school of donating to the mikveh there, and the need of balance medical ishtadlus with bitachon to see success. We should pursue available options of ishtadlus, try to do what Hashem wants, with bitachon and trust, and so on. more to the letter. That's what we're going to talk about today in Rav Shaul Alter. That's the learning we're going to do. How do we find that balance? What is the reasonable amount of ishtadlus? How do we do enough initiative, but not too much initiative? Anyway, I love that. The Indian Buddhist driver from the OL who starts his day every day only from the OL. Incredible. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, I was frustrated. This was my fifth pregnancy. I was really hoping for a natural cook labor, unlike any of my previous ones that were all either inductions or C-sections. But that morning at the OB, my baby didn't look good on the monitors. The doctor felt, much to my dismay, the baby was safest on the outside, and it was time to get induced. While in the hospital, feeling unsure if we're doing the right thing, even though I trust my doctor, I decided to catch up on my shiurim while waiting for everything to get started. That week, you happened to have given the class on Monday, so it was in my queue on that Tuesday morning. And lo and behold, you spoke multiple times about induction and childbirth, and I felt the hug from Hashem telling us we're doing the right thing. Baruch Hashem, we gave birth to a delicious baby boy later that night. Mazel tov. As an aside, a neighbor who's an incredible labor and delivery nurse and midwife doesn't usually work Tuesday nights, but happened to be on that night and asked if we wanted to have her as a nurse. We jumped at the chance and had a smooth delivery. Everything was from Hashem. Okay. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, enjoyed and inspired by all the Talmud 23 sightings and stories, I realized I have my own deep connection as well. My very best friend from high school was Bella. Although we never lived in the same city after graduating way back in 1972, our connection and love for each other remained strong. She passed away a number of years ago, yet I still miss my friend and think of her often. I don't know her full medical history, but I do know she struggled with several issues in her last years. After she passed away, I stayed in touch with a number of her children, and one of her sons told this story. You ready? Bella was to undergo a procedure. Because it was invasive enough to be quite painful, she was fully sedated. After the procedure, she told her son the sedation did not fully take. She felt the pain, but couldn't speak or indicate she wasn't fully sedated. Her son asked her how she managed. She told him she just kept saying in her head over and over, "Gam ki elach begeitz amaves, lo ira ra ki ata imadi." Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Hashem, you are with me. Bella's emunah was so strong. She was always such an inspiration. God forbid, we shouldn't even imagine. I would say imagine, but don't imagine that you're supposed to be sedated, but it didn't take and you can't tell anyone, and you're enduring insane pain, but can't alert anyone. And what got her through was, lo ira ra, why? Ki ata imadi. We've been using that phrase over and over. My friend Ben made stickers. He's got on his steering wheel and everywhere else. He sent me a bunch. Ki ata imadi. You're with me. You're with me. It's a great place, the steering wheel. While we're driving, ki ata imadi. On the luggage, ki ata imadi. Everywhere, the kitchen, our office, ki ata imadi. Wherever we are, whatever. On the shtender, giving the drasha, ki ata imadi. Wherever we are, ki ata imadi. You are always with me, ki ata imadi. Just as an aside, before I get back to the email, I saw in a sefer, I'm forgetting which Rebbe, when he was taken away to prison in Russia, he said, a different way to read this pasuk. Gam ki elach begeitz amaves, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter what I'm going through, no matter the suffering, the pain, the torture, the challenge, no matter what I'm walking through, we ordinarily translate lo ira ra, I will not fear any evil. Why? Nothing scares me. No one intimidates me. I'm not afraid of anything, anyone, medically, enemies, parnasa, life. Why ki ata imadi? You're with me. And if you're by my side and you're holding me up, if you're with me, I feel nothing. But this Rebbe who was arrested in Russia, he said, Gam ki elach begeitz amaves, lo ira, I won't be afraid. Ra ki ata imadi. The only thing that's bad, the only thing that's ra, is ki ata imadi. That Hashem, you have to come with me, that you have to suffer. The only regret I have, the only thing that makes me sad, the only thing that's ra about this, is ki ata imadi, that you have to come with me. We have a tradition, Gemara Chazal, our rabbis teach, that when the Jewish people are dispersed in Golus, when we live in exile, the Shekhinah, Hashem himself, comes with us. Hashem comes with us. Just like someone who has to go to an Ir Miklat, this Parsha again, his Rebbe is Gola Imo, his Rebbe goes with him. When Hashem sends us out, he comes with us. He comes with us. He's not separating us, sending us. He's not exposing us. He comes with us. So Ra, what's Ra is Ki Ata Imadi. And in fact, some suggest that the ikar, the core of the pain that we should feel on Tisha B'Av, is a Tisha B'Av message. The core pain that we feel on Tisha B'Av is that is that Hashem is in Galus. We're living in a world, you look around, and it's increasingly a godless world. Fewer Americans say they believe in God, worship God, serve God, listen to God. We see that in the policies and people and definitions and interactions and the moral culture, that it's increasingly godless. There is less of God in the conversation, less of God influencing policy and positions and outlooks and perspectives. Hashem is in Galus. He's in Galus and he's in Galus with us. He could reveal himself and he could dominate and he could show himself, but he doesn't. It's part of the message of Tisha B'Av too. The Gemara describes how Titus HaRasha, Titus the wicked, came and violated God, did unspeakable things in the Holy of Holies, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you know what God did? Nothing. In some ways, he was modeling for us, like my dear friend Brian, being mevater, letting it go, letting it slide, even though he could wallop him, could give him a zinger, could knock him back so much further, but he didn't. Michamocha bo'elim Hashem, michamocha bi'ilmim Hashem. We say every day in davening, michamocha bo'elim, who is like you, God? No one is as great as you. But our rabbis encourage us to read it, not michamocha bo'elim, michamocha bi'ilmim. In ilim is somebody who's mute, is somebody who's silent. Who is as strong as you, God, that you stay silent? We think it takes strength to lash out, to lash back, to tell someone off, to give it to them. We think that's a sign of strength. That's a sign of weakness. The real sign of strength is when you can stay composed. The real sign of strength is when you can stay silent, when you can let it slide. That's what Hashem does. But Hashchin is in Galus. And the real pain of Tisha B'Av is to look around at a world and say, with no Beis HaMikdash, with no revelation, with no miracles that show Hashem, it is a world of hiddenness. And in that hiddenness, it is increasingly godless. And there are fewer who see and believe and feel and hear and obey and submit and surrender to Hashem's will. And our pain is not only for our condition in the world, our pain is for the condition of the God of the Jews in the world. When the mayor of New York, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, considered a desk looking like he thinks he's the president of the United States and abuse his position and his power and make a video that is filled with lies and blood libels and horrific things and accuse God's chosen people, his firstborn child, Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, and accuse the most moral army who has litigated the most moral war in all of time of the things that he did, understand God is in pain. And our tears should not only be for ourselves and for the slander of the holy soldiers of the IDF, but our pain should be for the Shechin itself, for Hashem. He is in Golos. So Gam Ki Elch Begeitz Amavis Lo Ira. Hashem, whatever we have to go through, whatever we have to endure, we're not afraid. We're not afraid. Ra Ki Ata Imadi. The only thing that's ra, the only thing that's bad, is that Nebuch, you have to come with us. Nebuch ki ata imadi, that you're with us too. But back to Bella, I don't know, but this amazing, remarkable woman who went through this horrific event of the sedation not taking and feeling the pain and couldn't tell anyone what got her through it. Kapitel Chaf Gimel. Lo irara ki ata imadi. Little did I know, back to the author, little did I know I would need that inspiration a short time later. I was diagnosed with lung cancer. Would be undergoing two separate surgeries to remove the cancer in both lungs. Her mantra became mine, and I repeated that pasuk each time I felt myself worried or scared, which was very often. Baruch Hashem, I survived the surgeries. I'm almost at the five-year mark. A year later, after removing cancer from two lungs, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer and needed another surgery. Baruch Hashem, all the cancers are found at early stage. I do not need any follow-up treatment. Through it all, I thought of my friend and was grateful that even from the grave, she provided me with comfort and inspiration. Bella Yenta Bas Yisrael, may her neshama have an aliyah. Now through this email, she's inspiring us as well. Whatever you're going through, traffic or a delayed or canceled flight, or entering the MRI machine, which is incredibly unpleasant, whatever we're waiting for and going through, or whatever we are enduring, ki ata imadi, we can get through it, and we will do it. We follow the example, Ryan and this Bella and others before, who modeled for us that capacity and that ability to live and do in that way. Okay, one or two quick more. 2 days before Shavuos, I stopped at the supermarket for a quick errand. Parking lot was packed, but I eventually found a spot. When I came back outside, someone had parked illegally along the curb and completely blocked me in. So it's not in Boca. In Boca, we don't do such things yet. After several unsuccessful attempts to get out, I realized I was going nowhere. Instead of getting frustrated, I left. Apparently Hashem wanted me to stay put for a little while. So what did I do? I put on the Emunah Shir. I even texted my family chat, my car is exactly where it's supposed to be. About 20 minutes later, the driver returned to move the car. Rather than be annoyed, I felt Hakara Satov toward him. He had unknowingly given me 20 uninterrupted minutes to learn Torah that I probably wouldn't have taken otherwise. Thank you again for what you do, the Shiurim, yada yada, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for this email that was filled with a few stories. I love that one. Why do I love that story and I share it with you? And now I want to darshan it with a Dvar Torah. Why do I love that story? We've all been through it. Not earth shattering, not the end of the world. Someone double parked and parked you in, blocked you in. Frustrating, annoying. You had your plans. You were going to run and buy what you need, get out and go on to the next thing. And now, what? Who are they? How inconsiderate. What's the matter with them? They've frustrated your whole day. So many people, most people, you know, they listen to the Emunah Shir and they daven and they learn. And all day they say, Mirtz Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem, Chaste Hashem, 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 Hashem. But in that moment, the blood pressure goes up, and the sweat glands are pumping, and the pulse is quickening, and they're slamming on the horn, and they're going into the store, and they're demanding someone say over the loudspeaker, who's driving this car, who double, most of us would lose our mind. This person, the author of this email, left and said, my car is where it's meant to be. What can I do with this time? What can I do with this? I did nothing wrong. I parked in a legal spot. Someone else closed me in. Rather than lose my mind, rather than forfeit this moment, what's my mission? What am I meant to do? What comes next? How do I use this time? How do I embrace this Emunah challenge and pass this test and recognize that I and my car are exactly where they're meant to be? That's what's so impressive to me about that email. It's so easy. It's so easy to talk about Emunah. It's so easy to use the words of Emunah. It's so hard to practice Emunah. Not only in the big moments, if the sedation doesn't take, God forbid, but in these moments, someone double parked and kept you in. And do you have the ability to laugh it off? Say, my car's where it's meant to be. What am I meant to do with this moment? I know. I'll turn on the Emunah Shir. Last week's Parsha, Parsha's Dvarim. Moshe recalls the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the spies. Abnei Yisrael reacted with fear and trepidation. They cried that whole night. It's last week's Parsha, but it's relevant to today, to tonight. Because tonight we're going to sit on a floor and we're going to cry. 25 hours, we're going to recount all the pain, not only of the past, but of today. Because there's no shortage. A porch collapses in Rehavia, kills an innocent man who's just shopping underneath it. Makes no sense for no reason. Yesterday, horrible. Tragedies. A man fell off in Miami yesterday, plummeted to his death. A building. Makes no sense. Tragedies every year, this time of year. And so for 24 hours, we're going to recall and recount not only calamities of the past, but unfortunately of the present. And all of it is because we cried that night. The Meragim came back, and rather than dismiss them and say, you clowns don't know what you're talking about, they weren't clowns, they were on Hashem Chashuvim, they were Nesiim, I know, but you don't know what you're talking about. Hashem Ki Atah Imadi, he's with us. And he's got a plan. Alo Na'aleh, we've got this, let's go up. Rather than do that, you know what we did? We cried. We listened to the sinners and the scoffers and the doubters. The Meraglim came back and reported, and we said, huh, maybe they got a point. We can't build a new campus. We'll never raise that money. We can't start that program. Nobody will ever come. We can't build that school or that yeshiva. Who's going to ever come to learn in it? Well, no one will ever support it. There's always those who say, lo nuchal, we can't do it. But are we going to be the caliph who says, alo na'aleh, we've got this, let's go up. If Hashem said do it, he's got our back, yata imadi, let's go. And instead of being the people who said, we've got this, failure is not a choice, we're going to make this happen, we're going to be marbek vod shamayim, we're going to make God proud. Instead of the people who said, we've got this, we can do anything, instead we cried. And God said, you cried for nothing? What are you crying about? You cry for nothing? I'll give you a reason to cry. And for 2,000 years, he's given us reasons to cry. Yesterday, today, there are reasons to cry. He gave us Mamdani. If that's not a big enough reason to cry, to cry. He didn't just give it to New Yorkers. New Yorkers gave it to themselves somehow. Somehow, can't understand. But unfortunately, he gave that gift to the world. Yimach Shemo v'zichro. We cried that night, and we've therefore been crying ever since. So Moshe criticized the people, and he notes, Uvadavar hazeh einchem ma'amina b'Hashem Elokeichem. Listen to those words. Moshe says, Uvadavar hazeh, and when it comes to this thing, you do not believe in Hashem. So said Rav Mordechai Zuckerman in his Lev Mordechai, beautiful sefer. I had the privilege, we led a teen mission to Israel many millennia ago. When was it? Many, many years ago. Yachav and I led a teen mission to Israel, and we met with, the teens had the chance to meet Rav Mordechai Zuckerman, who was at the time one of the last living Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim. And he regaled our teens with stories of the Chafetz Chaim, whom he had met. Anyway, in his sefer, he has an insight. Uvadavar hazeh. Moshe tells them, when it came to this thing, Einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You failed. You failed to display and demonstrate emunah, faith, that Hashem had a plan, that you were sticking with Him, that you were going up. Why did he say b'davar hazeh? So listen to what Rav Mordechai Zuckerman said. He says, a person can spend a great deal of time learning about emunah. Learning emunah, talking emunah, you got the emunah sticker, and you got the emunah decal, and you got the emunah luggage tag, and you got the emunah swag, and you got the emunah cup, and you got the emunah notebook, and you got all the emunah, you talk about it all day long. But then when the rubber meets the road, someone double parks and blocks you in. Then the flight gets delayed or canceled. Then there's something that doesn't go your way. So this Jewish people, they stood at Har Sinai, they received the Torah, they built the Mishkan. But when it came to Badavar Azeh, but this was their test, this was their moment. On this matter, they failed to have emunah. We all have our emunah moments. Times when we need to rise to the occasion. It's easy to talk and subscribe and read and listen and watch. But what happens when someone blocks you in? Uvadavar hazeh. I love this insight. Rav Mordechai Zuckerman is telling us, we all have. Maybe it's every day, once a week, once a month. Who knows what or when it will be. But we have our vadavar hazeh. And that's the way to react. So the flight gets canceled. I told you last week, we literally, the Uber was ordered. And on its way, when all of a sudden the alert, I just checked the last time, it wasn't even an alert. I checked the last time the airline app, it said went from on time to canceled. So that canceled, I mean, your luggage is at the front door. The Uber is on its way. There are things you need to get back to. It is time to go. What do you mean? On time, canceled, no warning. That's Uvadavar hazeh. Okay, good. That's my emunah test for the day. So rather than just lose our mind, rather than lose that moment, each time those things rise, embrace it as it's my uvadavar hazeh. It's my emunah test, it's my emunah moment. God forbid the sedation didn't take. You're entering the MRI machine. The flights can't, whatever it is, big or small, whatever is happening in your life, whatever's happening not only with Hashem and his world, but with people who maybe fail you. Will you be like Brian? What would Brian do? We still have buttons after he passed away 7 years ago. What would Brian do? Because that's how so many of us live. How would he react? What would he say? How would he respond? What would he do? What would he do? What would he do? He was a mavater. He let things go. He let them slide. He didn't make a big deal out of them, and he didn't hold on to them, and he certainly never bore a grudge. Badavar hazeh. Every day we're going to have our badavar hazeh moment. What happened that day? This is my test. Oh, this is my moment. What am I going to do? Will I lose my mind, honk my horn, scream in the supermarket? Or will I turn on an emunah shir and realize I've got 20 more minutes? Will I realize my car is where it's meant to be, and what will I do at this time? What's my mission in this moment? Uvadavar hazeh. Each of us have to figure out what we're going to do in our uvadavar hazeh moment. One last one, then we finish up this piece by Rav Shaul Alter. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, while my son was getting ready for bed, we discussed his emotions, how difficult it was for him to cope with his sad memories. I shared a story that I recently heard on your shir. We often listen on our shopping trips. This story was about a man who expressed in an email to you his frustration having a chronic disease that made it difficult for him to get out of bed. He wished he had more to do in his life rather than just getting up and dressed. He wished he could be more involved in a mission that would help others rather than be stuck having trouble getting around. You said his mission could be just that. Since his effort inspires people to appreciate what they have and what he's able to do despite his disability, my son often feels limited by his special needs, and his downward feelings often make it hard for him. I pointed out his mission could be to persevere even though he has sad memories, and I've seen that he has done so many times. He could be an inspiration to all those who didn't think he would amount to much. He felt very validated by the story and very encouraged. He felt he had had a new lease on life and was ready to be creative. I hope with Hashem's help that this feeling for him lasts. Thank you for sharing that story. But it's not me. It's thank you for sharing the people. I end with that and share that with you because when people send in emails and we have the privilege to share them and others hear them, they feel validated. They feel inspired, motivated, driven. They're able to be encouraged for in their moment what they need to do, what they need to be. So thank you to all those who send in their emails. We're on page 76, Shmaisa Damar, in this piece by the great Gerer Rosh Yeshiva by Rav Shaul Alto. There are some copies here if you want to follow inside. We are finishing up. Money doesn't solve all problems. You need health. You need health. If money can solve it, it's not a problem. Someone was telling me this morning, Alan was telling this morning that his father used to say, if it can be solved with money, it's not a problem. If it can be solved with money, it's not a problem. You figure it out. It's a challenge. The challenges. A lot of challenges that even can be solved with money, but until you have the money, it's a challenge. Challenge. If it can be solved with money, it's not a problem. It's a challenge. So money can't solve. You need health, children, nachas, od harbe dvarim. We're on the bottom paragraph. Sometimes there's someone who's willing to lift off the mask. So some people say, you know where God shows himself? When it comes to my livelihood. There are people who live every skula. They do everything. On the bottom of page 76. Bottom paragraph. Third line of the bottom paragraph. There are people who are willing to peel back the mask, peel back the cover when it comes to anything having to do with Parnassa. They hedge their bets. Any superstition, anything they can say, read, do, wear, they're willing to do. Why? Because I want Parnassa. I need Parnassa. I'll do anything for Parnassa. Aval lo di bekach. That's not enough. Tarimas amasecha mi'al kol ha'olam. You got to peel off the mask for the whole world. Lavin le'iza matarav v'tachlis yared l'hayama. You have to, we said the word olam, world, is the same word he'alam ne'alam, hiddenness. God is hidden in this world, and our job is to reveal him. He is everywhere, sending signals, speaking to us. He's visible, we just have to reveal him. He's hiding in plain sight. God is hiding in plain sight, and our job is to find him and to reveal him. Find him and to reveal him. And if you have everything, then you even more are obligated to look and search and find how it all connects back to him. Baruch Hashem, B'li Ayinar, you have your health, your family's well, you have nachas, you have parnasa, Gans is good, all is going well. You're not the one who should have the least emuna, you're the one who should have the most. First of all, the most appreciative, feeling the most vulnerable, God forbid, a shoe to drop, but also finding how you can see all of it is coming directly from him. From him, it's all from above. It's all from him, filled with incredible, incredible gratitude. Person has to be incredibly grateful, connected to him. I was inspired by a Sheva Brachas I went to maybe a month ago. Young woman who grew up in our community, who dated a long time and first got married at what some would consider an advanced age. And her mother made her a Sheva Brachas. It was small. It was friends from this community, people who had been part of this journey. And in front of us all, she read Nishmas. It's a very precious, very special, very holy woman. She didn't just read Nishmas. She read and translated it line by line. You were there. It was amazing. And in a very real and raw way, she let us in, she let us watch as she had a conversation with Hashem, reading Nishmas, what we say on Shabbos morning, and connecting each line to the gratitude she felt in that moment, that her daughter had found her one, and that we were there celebrating the Sheva Brachas at this time. Nishmas is not only read on Shabbos morning. You could open a sitter and read Nishmas when you want, when you feel it, when you feel it. And tzaddikim did, they encouraged. When somebody gets engaged, read Nishmas. When you have a baby, read Nishmas. When your paycheck, an auto deposit cleared, read Nishmas. When your flight took off and landed on time, feel free to read Nishmas. That might be the biggest miracle of them all. Nishmas. Don't overuse. Don't become desensitized to Nishmas. Special occasion Nishmas. But on special occasions, open it up and read Nishmas. So the Ger Rosh Yeshiva, he's writing of Shal Alter. The more bracha you have in your life doesn't mean the less you have to daven or feel emunah. It means the more you have to do it in order to connect it, attach it, and find a way to realize it's all from Hashem. Nishmas kelcha. Hashem, in anachnu maspikim lahodos lecha. When Rav Waxman was here, Rav Ephraim Waxman, years ago, Rabbi Waxman, great Talmid Chacham, a great Rosh Yeshiva, in some ways a great Rebbe, Rav Ephraim Waxman. We had an amazing, amazing, amazing Shabbos with him here years ago. And every year when we fly our Mavakshon trip, we always meet with him in New York. One of his many talents is he's very musical. And he writes original compositions, but he also takes songs that are well known and he gives them English words to that melody. So those words from Nishmas, Ein Anachnu Maspikim Lecha, he wrote, he sang, maybe popularized, I don't know if he originally wrote, but that video I didn't take, but was put on YouTube as, I don't know, tens or hundreds of thousands of views of him singing and leading all of us in singing. If I lived 1,000 years, if I lived 1,000,000 years. There would never, ever be enough time to thank you, Hashem, to praise you, Hashem. For all you do for us. You could sing it in the Hebrew from Nishmas, you could sing it in the English from Nishmas. Starting Friday, you could listen to him sing it. Go find it. You'll remind me, we'll post it in our groups, this him leading us in that song. So that's what the Ger Rosh Yeshiva was encouraging us. Certainly when things are not going well, people find their Siddur, their Tehillim, their Amunah, their faith. Hashem, I need you. I'm desperate for you. Intervene, help, rescue. Please, please, please. But we tend to, when things are going well, forget. I'll get back to it. Oh yeah, he had something to do with it. Thank you. But right now, I've got a simcha to plan. I've got things to work on, things to arrange, things to buy, things to get done. The first thing to get done, go thank Hashem. The first thing, open a nishmas. The first thing, sing Ein Anachnu Maspikim Lecha. If everything is going well, if anything is going well, stop and thank Hashem for it. Be in a conversation. Ze avoda shel Yehudi, v'zu avoda gedola. Yesh Yehudi elef nisyonos b'chol yom. A Jew has 1,000 challenges and tests every day. Every day. From when we wake up, how we woke up, how we feel when we woke up. We have 1,000 tests a day. A day. Or put differently now, we have 1,000 badavar hazeh a day. Rav Zuckerman, badavar hazeh. Moshe turned to the Jewish people and he said, big talkers of emunah. You drink the emunah mug, you have the emunah bumper sticker, you go to the emunah shir, but you talk. Because uva davar hazeh, when the rubber met the road, when it was time, when it came to this matter, but davar hazeh, ein chem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You did not display the red emunah. You did not say, we've got this. You did not say, let's go up. You said, lo nuchal, we can't. So a yid, a Jew, has 1,000 but davar hazehs a day. V'chol ha'tchumim v'chol ha'matzavim. Everywhere, all boundaries and all circumstances. We have to remember, we exist, we were born, we are here. We serve at the will of Hashem. We need the compass. We need the GPS to chart the way. There's a God, there's a creator. He's aware, he's involved intimately in my life. And I always have to do what he wants, what's good in his eyes. Bechol davar, with all things, beparnasa, with my livelihood, beishtadlus, beaskanas, when it comes to my effort and initiative, ki adam hu kokulo bechiros, koach bechiros nitim biyado, v'tzorach tamid livchor lasos hato b'nei Hashem. We have free will, and we're making a choice, and we can always make the choice to serve him. That's why we're here. Badavar hazeh. We have 1,000 badavar hazehs a day. 1,000 tests, 1,000 challenges, 1,000 opportunities to turn to him for help, to turn to him in gratitude, to turn to him in protest, countless times a day to turn to him, to turn to him. We're going to leave it here in the last paragraph. You can learn on your own. He talks about the boundary When do you do a shtalus? When does it do a muna? And here's what he says: Adam tzarich la'aser shtalus. You have to make effort. And Hashem shalom was, people ask me, I guess we'll do it. People ask me, how much effort? How much initiative? Vinini omer ef shaladas. You can't know. It's hard to say. It doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. There is no perfect prescription. However, aval asal asos dvar masur, you can't do what you're not allowed to do. Meaning, no extremes. Don't drive yourself crazy. Lo yelo, lo yom velo laila, lo yeladim velo bayis. You can't show so much initiative and effort that you don't know the difference between night and day, that you don't spend time with your family, that you don't take care of yourself. But make boundaries, and within the boundaries of what's reasonable, you have to do everything you can, which is what we say all the time. How much effort, how much initiative? What's reasonable? What's reasonable? Look around, ask around, get advice. What's reasonable? If Hashem wants you to be wealthy, you could do it working a reasonable amount of hours a day. You don't need to work 22 hours a day. But if Hashem wants you to be wealthy, it's not reasonable to work 1 hour a day and think you're going to be wealthy. What's reasonable? What's reasonable? Taking care of your health and wellness. What's reasonable? Making effort and initiative in parnasa. What's reasonable in your effort and initiative in shidduchim? What's reasonable in each and every one of these areas? One has to ask themselves. There is no easy or simple or universal answer. It's all what is reasonable. Join us tonight, 8:35 p.m. here in person, or you could stream watch online. From Grudges to Geula, loving Jews we don't like. Taking a break for a few weeks. When we come back, we're not just coming back. We are coming back with a brand new initiative, website, effort called Nishmasi, a community and a movement with separate groups for all these things, parnasa, shidduchim, marriage, parenting, health and wellness. Really excited to finally unveil it and ask you to join it and help us with it and promote it. Until then, wishing everyone a wonderful summer. And Mirtz Hashem, still here for a few more days, but we'll see you in a few weeks at the Emunah Shir. Should be a day of Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos, Venachamos.